Warning. The following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
Yes, and welcome back to another edition of the Chili Dippers Podcast. I'm Luke Clark, and to my left, as always, is Dave Ralston.
Good morning.
Okay, we are doing another semi-flashback podcast today. This is our New Zealand tour, we're calling this pod, because as you're well aware, Dave lives over in Auckland, New Zealand. And 6 months ago, I jumped on a big bird, flew over to Auckland, and spent 12 days?
About 12 days, just under 2 weeks.
Pretty much driving all around the North Island, playing some golf and having a ball.
To be fair, I've been there 3.5 years. I think I've flown back to Australia 15, 16 times. And 3.5 years in, Luke finally flew over once. So it took some doing. I don't know how we managed it, but we got him to leave his little comfort zone and got him over there. But I looked after him. We just went top notches. We went two or three of the best five courses in New Zealand and one or two other top 30 courses. So we
perfect
had a great
weather
trip
from day one, as always. We just always seem to cop the good weather.
We are very lucky when it comes to weather. And if you're ever going to get it bad, it's in Auckland. It's, as I say, I live there and the weather's horrible. And I told Luke we will lose at least 1 or 2 days of golf for weather. Barely seen a cloud for the 2 weeks.
24 degrees and zero wind every single day. So in the end, I just didn't believe a word of it. Yeah. I just thought, this is just Auckland. This is what weather's like. Yeah.
Even some of the beach courses we played, the blokes who had worked there for 4 or 5 years said, this is the single best day of weather I've had since I've been here in 4 years' time. So we were blessed with that.
Yeah, so anyway, the trip started with me flying into Auckland. We had a little bit of a look around Auckland, and then we started our drive up to the two main courses we want to play were Curry Cliffs and Cape Kidnappers. So the first thing was to drive up towards Curry Cliff, which about
we got that warm up course first, the one on the beach, Mirawai.
Oh yeah, sorry, yeah. I'm skipping
now
one.
Look,
yep.
But also too, before we get too far into it, if we mispronounce any of the New Zealand names, we've put the Australian spin on them, so please forgive us.
New Zealand listeners.
Yeah, but no, we played Mirawai first, which was the.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah,
good,
really good. Yeah,
good little beach track. And there must be strawberry fields on the way over there, because remember there was all those strawberry smoothie stands.
Yes.
And all that. And I think we must have picked the worst
one.
Picked the worst one, didn't we?
Absolutely, on the way home.
but that was a good little warm up course. That's a really good track.
Yep. So after that, we made our way up to Curry Cliffs, which is a good
four hour drive north of Auckland. You go through Whangarei, which is a reasonably major town, but then north of Whangarei, the next thing you get is the top of New Zealand and water. There's not much else up there.
But it's all good driving around New Zealand. Everywhere you turn and look, there's just views, and Curry Cliffs is the same. Like driving in, there was a couple of times we didn't even know how close we were to the actual golf course, and we looked out to the right, and you could just see it out on the ocean cliff face. We just really sort of couldn't wait to get there once we had that first little glimpse of it.
I tell people, if you're driving around New Zealand, you're either in mountains or on the beach. It's views or the coastline. It is a beautiful. How about where we played, where we stayed? And I booked these hotels, and there was a fair bit of randomness about it. Occasionally I got it right, occasionally I missed. How did I go with this one?
I knew something was up when we were contemplating getting up there and going and having another little warm up around at a course just above Curry Cliffs. And I remember you saying, let's just check out the accommodation before we get carried away and go play golf. And I remember thinking, well, we care about the accommodation, let's go get to the golf course. We couldn't find the place for a start. It was in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. We had instructions how to get there, and we had to call the lady to say, look, we don't, the instructions were turn right at the fence post, take the dirt road, turn left at the big tree. Like it was those kind of instructions. And we wind our way down. We end up at this little beach cottage, a little shack right on the beach. And it wasn't just your standard beach. It was like this,
the movie The Beach could have used it, or the Blue Lagoon sort of thing. It was like a movie set. It looked so perfect. It had cliffs both sides, about 40 or 50 metres of beach, and then mountains behind it, and this beautiful little cottage right on there. It was
20 metres from the sand, and it was just all yours. And you were looking out over the Bay of Islands, So it wasn't just, you weren't just staring out into the horizon.
Those water beautiful rocky sort of islands just out there. It was perfect.
Water was crystal clear. $300 a night.
Yeah, but so $100 each because Trasky came with us.
Yeah,
remember?
So we had a friend with us, and look, the accommodation slept what, 8 people comfortably.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah.
8 people. Eight easy. The whole house was $300 a night. We just couldn't recommend, if you're doing a New Zealand trip, to find these little just on batch.com.
They call them batches. Yeah, is what they call them in New Zealand.
Look them up. Yeah, absolutely amazing. So yeah, we got there.
We didn't want to leave, did we?
No, we didn't.
Look, we're the laziest guys in the world. We even got up early to watch the sunrise morning. Yep. Watching the sun come up over the horizon over this beach, we don't want to sound too, but it was sensational.
It was
amazing.
So that was the day before Curry Cliffs. And then, so the next morning we get up after we look at the sun come up and we get in the car and we drive up to Curry Cliffs.
You know you're somewhere special, even the logging, you have to press the thing for them to let you in.
The
to
drive
start with.
Up to the course was phenomenal. And then we get there and we press a little button and we do the old Rolster and group of three and they buzz you in. They have the gate automatically opens. You drive up, there's valet parking, they get the clubs out of the car for you. The thing that really impressed me is it's an expensive round of golf. For an international player, it was supposed to be $500 a round. I don't know whether this is going to get me in any trouble, but we lied about me working there. We even got the third person we had was actually happened to be Dave's boss. We got him to write me up a little letter saying that I was actually started work a week ago. We got it. So it was still $300 a round.
Yeah, $295. Local rates were $295, which is a lot of money for a round of golf.
Mm. But look, the experience was there. Like, there was no tea time. You just, because they only take 24 golfers a day on this course, which I think is amazing.
Well, even when you get there, they do everything for you and all that. The practice range, just sitting there, there's just not a bucket of balls. They have them in the little pyramid setup,
which looks fantastic. Nice, yeah.
Little pyramid setup there. Hit as many as you want. Take your time. Bring you out a coffee, water, all that sort of stuff. And we're standing there. And in the tee box next to us is the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
And I didn't know who this was. Rolls come up to me and said, that guy is. And I just looked, just looks like a regular old fella to me. And oh, that's the Prime Minister of New Zealand. So Rolls got up, sparked up a conversation with him.
Couldn't have been friendlier.
Yep. And
this is the old Prime Minister, not the new female that's just been elected. This is the old one, John Key. Who everyone loves. He's a ripping fella.
And look, me and Rolls have got this saying in life, whenever we're having a good day and things are going great, we say, you know it's a good day, whereas if you had $10 million in the bank, you'd still be doing what you're doing right now. So we use that term all the time. And we were sitting there hitting golf balls off this driving range going, how good is this? It felt like you were hitting them into the ocean.
Yeah, even the driving range was an unbelievable view. And it was as good as, it was better than 95% of golf holes on good courses. It was just the practice fairway.
And look, this John Key, people apparently love him because he's a fairly wealthy man.
He's valued well over $50 million.
He flew into this golf course in his private helicopter, which was parked up on the hill, which we could see. Mm. And so we're hitting golf balls, and I look at Rolls and said, you know how good of a day this is? I said, if we had $10 million in the bank, we'd still be doing this. And Rolls points at John Key and says, well, he's got $50 million in the bank, and he's sitting next to us doing the same thing.
He's still doing it.
So it all worked out. And
it couldn't be friendlier. It's still the staff didn't treat you or speak down to you or anything. They just were fantastic. Order lunch before you go out and play and all that sort of stuff.
So you don't pay for anything. You just order them. You can take a shirt off the rack. You do it, and they just run a tab and you fix it all up at the end. One of the guys that was with John Key had a headache. And one of the young kids brought out one of those black trays, carrying it like a waiter with one glass of water and two little Panadol sitting on the tray for him. It was just, it was well worth the money for the actual experience.
Now, the course was stunning. It's the best course I've ever played.
Yeah, which is fair enough.
Best course, and just ocean view. And you feel like you're the only person on earth when you're out there. You don't see any other people.
Else,
it's peaceful as, and just... Oh, and not just ocean, jagged rocks, mountains,
farm
as well.
Off the ground.
Huge farmland in other side. Yeah, huge views everywhere. It's brilliant. If we sound like we're getting a little misty-eyed about it all, it was an amazing, amazing day. I loved it.
Yeah, and look, again, we caught perfect weather, which, again, they said, which is, you could get blown off those cliff faces again. We caught no wind, 24 degrees. It was just, it wouldn't matter how bad you were playing golf. You could not enjoy this. Mm. Can't speak highly enough of Curry Cliffs.
Even after the showers after it, which were beautiful. I had a shave. They had a shaving kit there. I freshened right up and all that sort of stuff.
They clean your clubs.
Brilliant.
After the round, they clean your clubs while you're having a shower. We come out and I said, Ross, geez, my clubs are clean. And the bloke goes, yeah, we clean them for you. Yeah. And again, Valley Car Park. And when I got the car, can't speak highly enough
and
of it.
We had a 4-hour drive home, and that was the most pleasurable trip home of all time. Just the high from playing golf there that day lasted without a worry in the world.
Yep, absolutely. So after that?
Rotorua was next.
Yep.
We've been north of Auckland. We've come back to Auckland. We spent the night at my place, and then we've got back on the road the next day and driven down to Rotorua. Rotorua is known for, it's got the sulfur mud pits, which are obviously thermal volcano activated, and they stink.
The whole town smells horrendous,
it's
actually.
It's that sulfury, what do they call it, wet sandpaper types, bottom of a guinea pig cage type smell.
But it's set up a bit like, how would you explain Rotorua? Like the town's very, very touristy.
Touristy set up. We had a ball there. We were lucky enough the night we got there,
Queenstownish sort of.
Oh, well, it's not Gold Coasty, but it's made for tourists. The night we got there, there was the food festival.
Yeah, the night market.
Yeah, night market street festival, which was great. Then we got on the next day before golf, we got on those gondolas that went up a hill to a go-kart track.
Like a luge track.
Oh, it was a luge track.
Other than maybe going up the train to feed the monkeys for the second time, I don't think I've seen someone as uncomfortable. For anyone to know, the luge is like a concrete. You're not actually stuck on a rail. So you're actually steering the thing on like maybe an 8-foot, 10-foot wide concrete track that makes its way down a hill. And you've just got one thing forward and back, which is fast and brake. There's three different tracks you can choose. There's a beginner.
Yeah, which they called the scenic route.
There was the intermediate and the advanced. And Roel said, which one are we going on? I said, I'll let you choose. And he said, oh, we got to take the scenic route, don't we? And in all seriousness, he wanted. And I said, Roel, there's 8-year-old girls going on the scenic route. We're not taking the scenic route.
Well, there was 12-year-old boys going on the intermediate one.
He wasn't overly comfortable about it, but it.
That was great. Look, and as you're right, I wasn't, because I can barely drive a car and all that, and I can't see, and my reflexes aren't as sharp as. I loved it. It was great fun. Yeah. I had a ball.
I've done it
really
once before. Their slogan is "One ride's never enough," and it's true. You go down the thing, you cannot wait to go again. But we didn't because it took us about 40 minutes to get from the back line to the front because
there was a footy group there.
The footy group rocked up,
and then Eat Street.
Eat Street, yep.
So the first night there was a night market. The second night they've just got what they call Eat Street, and it's just a closed off road, but got a heap of different restaurants and all that. So Rotorua was a town, but how was it? The course we played was the bumpiest course in history.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What was the name of the course?
Oh, Rotorua.
No, come on.
I've got it written down here. I'm gonna have a crack at it. It is Ariki Kikapaka Kappa. And I'm going to spell it out for you.
Give us that again. Say it in one go with
it. I want to spell it out. And then you said, can you do it? Arikikapaka.
Give me a look, I'll be able to read that. Arikikapapapa.
That's it. Nailed it. So that's what they, in brackets, it's called Rotorua.
It had the par 3 over the bubbling mud.
Yeah.
And then the par 5 back around the other side that still had the bubbling mud to the side.
Again, stinky course.
But there was something wrong with the fairways. You couldn't drive it. It was just continually it was like driving over speed bumps.
It was like the wheels on the cart were square.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Yeah.
And it was only an average. It was an okay track.
Yeah, but it was okay. Yeah.
But that was it. But Rotorua overall was good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Right. We were on to Napier Hastings, which is, for Australians, it's like Albury Wodonga.
Yeah, it is. But hang on, before we get there, on the way, we stopped at a place called St. Leonard's. And it was just a little stop. It was like a supermarket stop. And we got through that. Well, halfway through the supermarket, I noticed Roel's shirt was inside out. And to this day, I wish I hadn't. I actually, as soon as I recognised it, I did tell him straight away. And but it would have been much better to film him just walking around the shopping centre with his shirt inside. And the funny thing was, it was actually the second time for that trip that this had actually happened.
It was a white shirt without white much shirt. On it, and not much difference between the front and the back or the inside hat. But, you know, that is true, yes. Even though I said he should have let me go, that would have been funny going to sitting out for dinner in his shirt inside out. But that can happen when you're getting in and out of cars and in and out of hotel rooms and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so anyway, Hastings?
Hastings Napier, which is sort of twin towns, like I said, like an Albury Wodonga, and without being unfair, the Napier is more like the Albury and the Hastings is more like the Wodonga.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I wasn't aware which was which when I made the booking, and I booked the hotel in Hastings, which is the wrong one to stay in. We stayed at the Apple Lodge.
Great
and
Apple
there seemed
Lodge.
To, when we pulled into the Apple Lodge, right next to it or part of it, there seemed to be a lot of...
Criminals.
Hobos. homeless, ex-cons.
This is what happens when you let Rolls book accommodation because it goes, it doesn't go on price.
It's a factor.
It's a big factor.
I had enough credit in the bank.
San Francisco.
I had enough credit in the bank from the earlier ones.
That is true. That is true.
I got away with
but
this
yeah,
one.
Well, yeah. It could have been all over.
Yes. So, first of all, we played the Hastings Golf Club, which was nice enough. Pretty flat, really good nick, but it was a good warm-up course sort of thing to get ready for the big
fairways
one.
Were really, really good.
Everyone said too, they said it's like carpet when we're asking people where to play, and it was, but it wasn't. Look, it probably suffered being next to, as in playing Curry Cliffs a few days before and then playing Kate Kidnappers the next day after. If you'd played that by itself, we probably would have thought more highly of it.
Yeah.
But as I said, we were there for Cape Kidnappers, which at one stage I think was ranked 12th in the world.
Yep.
And it's been number one in New Zealand for a long, long time. I think there might be a new one that's got past it. But it's amazing. So that's what we're there for. So the next day we've driven out to Cape Kidnappers, which is owned by the same people of Curry Cliffs.
Yeah, but and
it's
same experience, same sort of...
Same sort of course.
But
I think the clubhouse was more cottage style. And all that sort of stuff. It was a bit smaller. It was a bit more but they're both remote. But it was the drive, how long was the drive in?
Yeah.
The drive in goes forever. But yeah, again, as I said, I like Curry Cliffs better, but I think you like Kidnappers better.
Well, I think the best, probably out of the 36 holes, I reckon the five best were probably on Cape Kidnappers. But overall, there was probably more better holes on Curry Cliffs.
Yeah, right. That's fair enough.
Like my favourite hole ever that I've ever played was on Cape Kidnappers.
I think we mentioned that a few pods ago. That is an amazing hole. That par five that goes out that just is a single finger of land out into the ocean is an amazing hole. And I agree that maybe the best, probably the best one or two were there. But it's toss of the coin job. Amazing course and day.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, and to top it all off, at the end of the round, we were sitting around outside the back having a beer, and about four tables down, there was an old couple of guys and their partners, and I hear them mention something about Yarrawonga, and I looked at Ross, did I say Yarrawonga? And then I heard them say Black Bull, and so I sort of sparked up. I said, excuse me, boy. I said, did I hear you say Yarrawonga Black Bull? And they said, yeah, we just played that a week ago.
Yeah, and obviously for those who may not know, that is the course Luke's live on, course that the Chili Dippers studio overlooks.
Yeah, so I've flown all the way from Australia to go do a tour of the North Island of New Zealand, end up at Cape Kidnappers, and these guys are wearing Black Bull T-shirts. It was just amazing. So we end up,
which is a good rap for Black Bull. Makes Black Bull look like a good course if they're going from there to there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I'm yelling out to them. I currently live at Black Bull, and I'm thinking, geez, I hope the pro shop didn't hear that because we lied to them and said that I'm living in.
Oh yeah, we did.
Try to get on the course, but
yeah, but that was good. And then we had one more to go. We went to Taupo, which is the town right in the middle of the North Island, which is right on the Big Lake, which is obviously was caused by a huge volcanic eruption thousands and thousands of years ago. Beautiful little town.
Really good town. Clean.
Yeah. Beautiful food. Easy to get around. The waterfalls there, the Curry Falls, which aren't really waterfalls, were that rapids?
Yeah, more rapid style.
Yeah, they call it a falls,
not
but it,
sure that's how you pronounce it.
I'm sure it isn't how I pronounce it. But that was great. And even the dodgy little hole in one setup there. How was that?
On the edge of the, like Roel said, it's the town's built on this massive lake, and someone had this thing set up where it was a hole in one, so it had a little man-made timber construction that was floating, maybe
a jetty
style, maybe 100 metres out.
About 100 metres.
And so anyway, for whatever it was, a dollar a hit or whatever, you could pay money and hit, and if you got the hole in one,
was it 10,000?
Yeah, you won $10,000, and there's just no way in the world, looking at that, anyone can put this hole in one. Like, for a start, the ball wouldn't stop on this thing, and he was trying.
You have to dunk it. You have to swish it in. You can't, because if it hit the jetty, it was wooden cement. It would just ping away.
And he's trying to tell us that it goes off once a day.
Oh, I thought he said once a week. But yeah, no, I reckon that would barely go off once a year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If that, and then that, but
good idea. Good
yeah,
idea. But,
yeah.
But, it, but the
yeah,
and
the they're
green,
not going to tell us no, it never goes no, off, mate.
But the green just needs to be more receptive.
Yeah, absolutely. But then the cool thing was they said they dive every day for the golf balls. Yeah. That'd be good fun as a bit of a side hustle.
And then the course we played there, which Wairaki.
I was going to say Warakai again. It's Wairaki.
Which is actually there's a couple of really, because Kidlock is the other really
Kidlock,
good one.
Yep.
But we chose Wairaki.
We didn't know anything about it. We hadn't looked this up. And then we just went there. And I remember going into pay, and when she said it was
200.
Like there, yeah, it was 220 by the time I bought a few other things. Mm. I thought we were just coming to play a course. I didn't realize. And then, yeah, but it was definitely.
It's on a bird sanctuary. Which is, and funnily, you think bird sanctuary, birds are everywhere. But we actually saw some really cool birds and all that. But I really liked it. I think I liked it a bit more than you. I thought it reminded me of the American courses you grew up watching on telly. Some of the great big pine trees lining the holes, the man-made little streams in front of the holes and all that. And it was perfect. There wasn't a blade of grass out of place, I didn't think.
No, it was
and we
really
played with those two older blokes that were travelling around. They were ripping fellas, which they always are. But by the end of the trip, and Luke and I probably had enough of each other that a bit of company to separate us didn't do any harm. So, yeah, no, I really liked Warwick.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Go there without a worry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, it was really good.
Yep. As I said, I reckon it was probably the holes were just that bit different. Like, one hole had the tree in the fairway.
Yep.
One of them had the really short one. You had to hit the four. You had to hit, say, driver right around. It was still reachable, but with driver off the tee.
But something a bit different with the courses we'd been. We'd played a lot of beachy courses over the last
year. This wasn't
so
beachy.
This was
foresty.
Pine tree
foresty
sort
and
of
resorty and all that sort of stuff. So, no, I thought that was good. So, that was our New Zealand trip, basically. That was all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Look, it was one of the best 12 days of golf in. Like, and the thing is, I went to Drummond Golf only a couple of weeks ago and bought some stuff and got given a little magazine that had it was specialised on New Zealand golf trips, and one of the ads was for $16,000 New Zealand golf tour, and it was pretty much the exact
what we did. You wouldn't have spent 16.
No, I
didn't.
You didn't spend $16.
But all the towns were good. The golf was good. Dinner every night somewhere. We didn't have a miss. Even driving around was easy as well.
Yeah, other than the Apple Lodge that we stayed
at. Look, it was a bit dodgy, but I was we had the Mercedes Benz out the front, and it still had the wheels on it when we got back in the morning.
Yeah.
I remember I nearly did the petrol cap. The petrol cap was still on the back too, which was handy. But that's if you're running a New Zealand golf tour, you could do that lot of courses without a worry in the world
absolutely.
And not burn the pocket too much at all.
Yep, feel free to write in if you need an itinerary drawn up for you.
And a tour guide, I'm happy to help.
All right, well, I reckon we could probably leave that there. We'll skip the viewer, the listener questions for today.
That's my favourite segment.
Yes, over time, so we're going to leave it there.
Beautiful. New Zealand, done.
That's it, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye. Strong, but I feel no pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back, but the grass don't grow. Gonna take a few hacks. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Chuck Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the no pressure, couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash.